Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We've got a special program planned, and we'll be getting to our guest here in just a moment, but certainly invite you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me and the program. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And, of course, that's the main sponsor of our program as well. And you can find out all that information at livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to our Sunday night programs there. We've got both hours, our 11 o'clock hour and our 10 o'clock hour, I should say 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We're on every Sunday night from 10 till midnight. And then, of course, there's some other materials there, some articles and such that are there that I've written, as well as links to past programs, links to our home church, as I said, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. All that information at livewithpastoral.com. So I hope you'll check that out here. And then also, I want to encourage you to continue pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace and security and safety of the Jewish people, and not only in Israel, but around the world, which leads us into our special program today. I've got a special guest that's going to be joining us here on the air, and that is Michael Johnson. And he is the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, and he is going to be talking about some amazing things that are happening in Israel right now with the war in Israel, with the atrocities, of course, from October 7th, and some ways that God is working even in the midst of trying times there in Israel. So, Michael Johnson, are you with us there?
I'm here.
Well, good to have you with us here on Live with Pastor Al. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. If you could just give our listeners a brief background on yourself, and then we can kind of get into some of the things that we're talking about here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with your audience. For me, I grew up in Connecticut and moved to California when I was very young. In 1974, I came to faith in Christ and spent a couple years in a Bible institute and got grounded in the Word. And one thing led to another, and the Lord moved me into business, and I was an advertising executive in New York City for many years until I took a short-term missions trip to the country of Albania. And God began to open my eyes to what he was doing in the post-communist world. So in the, the late 90s, I was given an opportunity to come to give my advertising career and serve this ministry. The ministry is called the Slavic Gospel Association. And I served as the vice president for a number of years. I left, and then they brought me back as the president about 7 years ago. So so the Lord continues to work in my life, and I just want to say that God is faithful, and every step of the way that I've taken in faith, he has led me to where I am now, talking to you today and your listeners.
Well, I sure appreciate you being with us here today. What's your website there?
It's sga.org. That's sga.org.
All right, appreciate that. And, you know, when we think about this, and of course, no doubt you, like most of our listeners, were shocked when we learned of the attack on Israel on October 7th. And it's hard to believe that it's coming up on 2 months ago now. I mean, very soon, it's not quite yet, but it's just... You know, for some people, I think the memory is starting to dim, kind of glaze over a little bit. But I think for most Christians who really love the land of Israel and understand the special place that God has for the Jewish people, I think many of our listeners are still very concerned at what's happening there now and the fate and the well-being of the people that are there. We hear a lot about what's happening in Gaza, but you have some information for us about some things that are happening in Israel, in Ashkelon and surrounding areas there, and how God is working and opening doors for the furtherance of the gospel there. If you could share that with our listeners.
Yeah, before I do that, I'd like to give you a little bit of a context.
Sure.
With regard to our ministry in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So our ministry was established back in 1934, and it was established at a time when the persecution of the Christians across the Soviet Union was ramping up. So we were involved in the covert distribution of Bibles throughout those countries, and then we had a significant Russian language radio ministry that we developed and broadcast in partnership with Transworld Radio and FEBC and HCJB. So we have a long history in those countries. And our founder, Peter Danek, really had a heart for the Soviet Jews and those individuals living in the Soviet Union, as well as those individuals that had moved to Israel. So in the 40s, we began to minister in Israel, where we had missionaries that we sent over there, Russian Jews. We did theological training and church planting activities. So we've had a long history in Israel. But over the last 15 years, our activities have increased in partnership with a ministry called One for Israel. They have a school called the Israel College of the Bible, and we fund the training of Russian pastors who are citizens of Israel, Russian believers, in Israel, and then we sponsor them to send them out into previously unreached areas to preach the gospel and plant churches in Israel. So people say that, you know, in terms of the Russian population or the people from the Soviet Union, it probably represents between a quarter to a third of the population of Israel, either people of Russian descent or are Russians themselves. So it's a significant percentage of the population of Israel that we're ministering in. So when the war in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia, broke out, we're connected to roughly, 6,000 churches across the former Soviet Union and roughly 2,300 churches in Ukraine. We started a huge humanitarian aid distribution program through the churches in Ukraine to minister to people who were internally displaced as a result of the war. Many people came to faith in Christ, and the churches are growing directly as a result of that. So while I was there, at that time, we began to see a number of Ukrainian refugees moving from Ukraine into Israel to flee the war. And when they get there, and these are just Ukrainian citizens, whether they're Christian or not, the Slavic churches would meet them and connect with them, help them to find places to live, help them to find jobs, and help them to get situation in this new country that they found themselves in. So it's been a significant ministry of the Slavic churches in Russia to these Ukrainian refugees. So when this particular war broke out, we support a number of church planters, and the individual that oversees this ministry, Oleg, lives in Ashkelon. Now, Oleg's apartment in Ashkelon overlooks the Mediterranean. And he's about 10 floors up, and about a month and a half before the war started, he and his wife were sitting in their living room, and the sirens went off, and they jumped up, which you're required to do immediately, to go to the bomb shelter on their floor, and a bomb dropped into their living room and killed the woman in the apartment below them. And so they obviously suffered the direct impact of these invasions, but this was before the war started.
Mm-hmm.
So once the war started, this network of Slavic churches, because they had helped these refugees get situated, they knew where they were, and a significant percentage of them ended up living in and around Ashkelon, which, as you know, is ground zero.
Right.
And so these people went from, experiencing the effects of the war in Ukraine. Now they come to Israel, and they find themselves in the middle of yet another war. And they just, I mean, to them, these people, they were just, it was just, they found themselves in a hopeless situation. And many of them hadn't found jobs yet. Many of them did not have financial resources. Many of them were just stranded. And so, you know, in concert with us, we provided funding and continue to provide funds to the churches so that they can go out, you know, purchase food, put food packets together, and go and knock on the doors of these people to bless them. And it's really been an incredible outreach because it really does open up the opportunities to share Christ with these people and share the gospel with them in their time of their greatest need. And they're seeing tremendous fruit as a result of it. And we're seeing many people wanting to know more about the gospel because of the witness of these Christians. And many people are beginning to connect with their local churches. So that's kind of, you know, what we've been doing and the nature of the project in a nutshell right now.
Well, and you were mentioning there in Ashkelon, and, you know, of course, many of our listeners will be familiar with Ashkelon in the Bible, and a very old city, and certainly Philistines had inhabited at times, and the Jewish people had inhabited at various times, and today, of course, it's 13 miles, I believe it is, north of the Gaza Strip, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And so as
and again, they've been suffering, you know, the missiles been coming for months and months and months.
Right, and that's been an ongoing thing. And then, of course, when the attacks on October 7th occurred, no doubt they were impacted greatly as well. The people in and around Ashkelon that they're reaching with these food packages and all of that, you know, as you pointed out, a number of the people are from Ukraine, from the old former Soviet Union areas, and many of them are already Christians, but there's also a number of Jewish people there in the area that they're ministering to, right?
They're all Jewish.
All right, well, it's, maybe I rephrase that the way I was saying that. You're talking about the people from the churches that got established down there, and obviously it's in Israel, and you're not just reaching the Christians, but you're reaching the Jewish people as opposed to the Jewish Christians.
Well, the Slavic churches are, the people in the Slavic churches, they're virtually all of them, are either Russian or Ukrainian or Belarusian Jews.
Right, so right.
Jewish people, Jewish Christians reaching
ethnically, they're Jewish, and of course they're Jews who believe in Christ. Yeah, correct. Yeah,
right.
But they're. I guess what I'm saying then, rephrasing my question, is they're not just merely reaching completed Jews. They're reaching people who are still in the Jewish faith, correct? As well.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the virtually every person that they're ministering to are Jewish people, many of whom, you know, again, it's not just limited to Ukrainians, but the focus is primarily mm-hmm. Ukrainians because these people, you know, find themselves in a difficult situation. But they are either Ukrainian or Russian or Belarusian Jews
mm-hmm.
Living in that particular area. And again, they're just such faithful people. And
mm-hmm.
You know, they come in and they have these food packets that would last, you know, family of four, maybe 10 days or so. And they sit down and the first question that they're asked is, well, why are you here? And what motivates you to come here? And
right.
Just, you know, open up about the fact that they're Christians and this is what God has called them to do. And they're part of a local church and, you know, the local church is praying for them and praying for their situation. And they want to help in any way they can. And then opens up opportunities for them to share the gospel with them.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was looking at, was the idea that how these people, you know, they who are, you know, Jewish by faith, their faith is Judaism, and they have these people coming in who have been completed Jews, they're Christians, and I guess that's right. What I was looking at, is their the reaction of Christians, having Christians come in, and how this is affecting the Jewish people in terms of, we get a little confused sometimes on Jewish by faith, Jewish by ethnicity, but in terms of their faith and the opportunity to open people up to the gospel and the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, and from what I understand is they have opportunities, from what you're saying, to begin to share this with them, and they have an open door now, don't they?
That's absolutely correct, and really, that's the crux of our ministry. We our ministry, we serve churches in the former Soviet Union and now in Israel. And we help to train their pastors in sound theology. And we send them out into previously unreached towns and villages to plant new churches, as well as strengthen their existing churches. And then we equip them with resources to minister to both, you know, to people both in word and deed, so that more people might hear, more people might come to faith, and be discipled in strong Bible churches. So the fact that this is an outreach from a local church gives them an opportunity to invite them to the church, so that they can find out more about the Christian faith. Many will come to faith in Christ, and then many of them will be connected to these local churches so they can begin the discipleship process and begin to grow in their faith.
Now, out of curiosity, and I know we're talking mostly about the people of the Jewish faith there, I know there's a number of Muslims, of course, in Israel as well. Israel's not monolithic in terms of their religions, where they're all either Jewish, and that's about it, or Jewish or Christian. Have they had any opportunities to interact with the Muslim community in that area? Have they had any success or open doors there as well? Just kind of curious.
Well, I believe they may have, but for us, the Oleg, who is overseeing this, he's the professor of Bible training for the Russian Jews at the Israel College of the Bible. Now, the Israel College of the Bible is the largest training school in Israel. They're located in Netanya. And so they have training activities not only among Russians, but they have training activities among the Hebrew population, but they also train individuals, Palestinians, who have come to faith in Christ. So there is another effort going on, you know, with the organization that Oleg is connected with, where these Palestinian Christians and pastors are being equipped to minister to Palestinians in different parts of Israel as well, specifically in Gaza. So this is part of a much broader strategy where all different segments of the population in Israel is being ministered to.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Now, getting back to reaching the Jewish people there in Ashkelon, in the area there, you're talking about the food packets and all of that. I think for some of our listeners, they may be thinking that, well, you know, the war is, everything is mostly going on in Gaza right now, and people in Israel, life getting more or less back to normal, if you call living with the constant threat of missile attack, rocket attack, normal. But what is the situation there that's, in a sense, necessitating this need for somebody to help them to provide food and necessities?
Well, I think initially it was an emergency, and again, everybody in the Ashkelon and the surrounding area, everybody left, and but many of these people were left behind because they had nowhere to go, and so Oleg and his team, they mobilized and they sent their families to a safer area. And then they began to put together these resources and food packets and go out to minister to these people. Now, they basically risked their lives because the missile attacks just kept coming. And there's still some, we're not quite sure what's going to happen in Gaza after the prisoner exchange or the refugee exchange, but they anticipate that this is going to be an ongoing problem. And what they also found was that they had these snipers up on the roofs throughout Ashkelon that were killing people as they were walking down the street. So so it was a perilous situation for quite some time. And so right now, roughly 20%, what I'm told is roughly 20% of the Israeli army is in Gaza. The rest of the army is up in the north in anticipation of what Hezbollah might do. And a lot of people anticipate that there's going to be, you know, some problems from that. So we're connected to the Slavic churches up in that region as well. So if and when that invasion does take place, we would be in a position to do the same thing there that we're doing in Ashkelon.
Well, and as you mentioned with the Israeli forces that are up there, Hezbollah certainly is much larger and much more better equipped than Hamas.
Oh, yeah.
I recall
missiles aimed at Israel.
Yeah, I recall you mentioned the snipers on the rooftops. I spent some time in the United States Air Force, and I was stationed in England. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we did, we monitored a lot of the terror attacks and things that were going on in the Europe and mm-hmm. the Mediterranean region, and that was, of course, during the time of the Lebanese war, a civil war there. And the people in Beirut, for instance, it was a risk to their life to simply go out to try to find some food because of the snipers. And they would have to dodge and hide, and run from cover to cover, trying to get some food, hoping that they didn't get shot in the streets. So I can understand what you're talking about the snipers there. So. People don't realize how difficult that is.
Yeah, it's a very perilous situation. And again, I just want to reemphasize this point about our ministry. Mm-hmm. We exist to serve the churches, and we try to stay out of the politics because we know that Christ is building his churches in the midst of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of the war between Russia and Ukraine, we equip the Ukrainian churches to minister to people both in word and deed. But we also equip the churches in Russia, Kazakhstan, Belarus, and the surrounding countries as they're ministering to the externally displaced Ukrainians as they move through their countries' regions as well. And so we're just trying to, for us, our goal is to lift the churches up as lights for the gospel in all of those countries, and knowing that there are people that are in desperate need, that not only needs physically, but more importantly, they need to hear the gospel, and that's particularly true in the nation of Israel.
Absolutely. Well, Michael Johnson, we're coming up on the last few minutes of the program. It's going by quickly. And I wanted to ask, what can our listeners do to pray for, and to help be a help to Pastor Oleg and the people in Ashkelon?
Well, again, we're always, trying to raise funds so that we can get more food and resources to them. So you can come to our website, and there's an opportunity to do that. But, we are a ministry of prayer. Our founder, Peter Daneker, wrote a book called Much Prayer, Much Power, and we meet every morning for prayer, and we know that this is in God's hands. So it's important to know that people, Christians in America, are praying for this situation, and that most importantly, we want to continue to pray for open hearts, and that God would direct these workers that have made themselves available to the people in whose hearts God is working. And so, we're just getting so many wonderful reports back from the individuals that have been, that they've encountered. Sometimes they'll go in and they'll share the gospel, and somebody would say, would you please give me a Bible and maybe come back and we can maybe do a Bible study together. And that's the mm-hmm. kind of response that they're seeing. And so it's just for such a time as this, God is working in hearts, and we just want to see more and more individuals in that country hear the gospel, God's chosen people, so that they can understand who their real Savior is.
And I appreciate the heart of the ministry there, and certainly encourage people to pray for open doors and for safety for the people involved, and that God would continue to use these, what the devil means for evil, that God can turn this around to open hearts up to the truth of the gospel message, that they'll be receptive and people come to Christ. What is your website again?
It's sga.org, or you can call us at 1-800-BIBLE-50.
All right. Well, Michael Johnson, I want to thank you for the being on the program with us today, and for the work that you're doing there, encouraging the promotion of the gospel during a time of need, and I certainly pray for the safety of Pastor Oleg and the people that are involved there. Final thought as we go out here today.
Praise God for what he's doing around the world as he continues to build his church.
Amen. As I tell people, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen in Luke 21, talking about the things that are going to happen during the tribulation, I think we're seeing the foreshadowing of those things through these events. He said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up. Our redemption is drawn nigh. We're not to be downtrodden, are we? We're not supposed to be downcast, but looking up, knowing the Lord's coming back. Thank you, Michael Johnson. Appreciate you being with us today. So God bless. God bless.
You too. Right.
Appreciate it. And I hope people will continue to go and look them up and follow through on that and pray for the people in Israel. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.